Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and today's broadcast is Courts, Creditors, and Moors. Today we have a very, very enlightening program, and I want you to pay close attention to what we're going to discuss today. We're going to start out coming to you from the Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition, and we are going to give a clear description so you'll have an understanding of how the word person is handled here in the United States. It says here on page 1028 under the heading of person, in general usage, a human being, i.e., natural person. Now, pay attention here. Though by statute term may include a firm, labor, organization, partnerships, association, corporation, legal representatives, trustees, and bankruptcy or receivers are never national labor relations. In other words, we're going down here to corporation. It says a corporation is a person within meaning of equal protection and due process provision of the United States Constitution. That's a very, very important word, the Constitution, because we're going to come to you and we're going to explain some things to you today, so that you will have a clear and concise understanding of what's going on inside the country that is a corporation. And we're going to give you the historical outline today on what has taken place in the United States and what has a direct bearing on persons. And we've already discussed in previous broadcasts about your name in all capital letters and all of that indicating a corporation or anything other than a living, breathing being. In other words, they can regard you as a living, breathing being if they want to, but however, it doesn't benefit them to do so. So what they have to do in order to tax you and police you, incarcerate you, and all of these things, they're going to regard you just like Black's Law Dictionary just outlined. This information is coming directly from my archives. And for those of you who are just tuning in, you can reach me by contact email. That's tarahaka99@yahoo.com, tarahaka99@yahoo.com. Or you can reach me by telephone after 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by simply dialing area code 904-303-9061. Okay, here we go. This is the historical outline. I'm going to read this from you. It's coming directly from under the heading in my Archives of Sovereignty. The historical outline says the following. First, martial law is declared by President Lincoln on April 24, 1863, with General Orders No. 100. Under martial law authority, Congress and President Lincoln institutes continuous martial law by ordering the state's people either conscribe troops and provide money in support of the North, or be recognized as enemies of the nation. This Martial Law Act of Congress is still in effect today. This martial law authority gives the president, with or without Congress, the dictatorial authority to do anything that can be done by government in accord with the Constitution of the United States of America. This Conscription Act remains in effect to this very day and is the foundation of presidential executive orders authority. It was magnified in 1917 with the Trading with the Enemy Act, Public Law 65-91, that 65th Congress session, first chapters 105 and 106, October the 6th, 1917, and again in 1933 with the Emergency War Powers Act, which is ratified and enhanced almost every year to this day by Congress. Today, these acts address the people of the United States themselves as their enemy. You understand now what we're saying here. Now, second, this is very, very important for us to understand this part. The District of Columbia Organic Act of 1871 created a municipal corporation to govern the District of Columbia, considering the fact that the municipal government itself was incorporated in 1808, an organic act. The first act using the term municipal corporation in 1871 can only mean a private corporation owned by a municipality. Hereafter, we will call that private corporation the U.S. By consistent usage, corporation U.S. trademarked the name the United States government, referring to themselves the District of Columbia Organic Act of 1871, places Congress in control like a corporate board and gives the purposes of the act to form a governing body over the municipality. This allowed Congress to direct the business needs of the government under the existing martial law and provided them with corporate abilities they would not otherwise have. This was done under the constitutional authority for Congress to pass any law within the 10-mile square of the District of Columbia. Now, inside here is also a link that you can click on for further information, but we're going to go on to number three. In said act, the Corporation of the United States adopted their own constitution, the United States Constitution, which was identical to the national constitution, the Constitution of the United States of America, except that it was missing the National Constitution's 13th Amendment and the National Constitution's 14th, 15th, and 16th amendments are respectively numbered 13th, 14th, and 15th amendments in the Corporation U.S. Constitution. At this point, take special notice and remember this corporation U.S. method of adopting their own constitution, they will add to it in the same manner in 1913. Number four, the corporation U.S. began to generate debts via bonds, etc., which came due in 1912, but they could not pay their debts, so the seven families that bought up the bonds demanded payment, and corporation U.S. could not pay. Said family settled debt for the payments of all Corporation U.S. assets and for all the assets of the Treasury of the United States of America. Now, number five, as 1913 began, Corporation U.S. had no funds to carry out the necessary business needs of the government, so they went to said families and asked if they could borrow some money. The family said no. Corporation U.S. had already demonstrated they would not repay their debts in full. The families had foreseen this situation and had the year before finalized the creation of a private corporation of the name Federal Reserve Bank. Corporation U.S. formed a relationship with the Federal Reserve Bank whereby they could transact their business via note rather than with money. Notice that this relationship was one made between two private corporations and did not involve government. That is where most people err in understanding the Federal Reserve Bank system. Again, it has no government relationship at all. The private contracts that set the whole system up even recognize that if anything therein proposed is found illegal or impossible to perform, it is excluded from the agreements and the remaining elements remain in full force and effect. Number six. Almost simultaneously with the last fact, also in 1913, Corporation U.S. adopt, as if ratified, their own 16th Amendment. Tax protesters challenged the IRS tax collection system based on this fact. However, when we remember that Corporation U.S. originally created the Constitution by simply drafting it and adopting it, there is no difference between the adoption and this, such as the nature of the corporate enactments. When the corporate board Congress tells the secretary to enter the amendment as ratified, even though the states had not ratified it, the secretary was instructed that the representatives would alone was representatives word alone was sufficient for ratification. You must also note this amendment had nothing to do with our nation, with our people, or with our national constitution, which already had its own 16th Amendment. The Supreme Court in Bushabar versus Union Pacific Company, 240 U.S. .1, in parentheses 1916, ruled the 16th Amendment did nothing that was not already done other than to make plain clear the right of the United States corporations, tax corporations. Okay? All right. Now, we want to stop right here before we go any further because I'm going to break this down for you and make sure you get a clear and concise understanding. Number one, what is taking place is we have these corporate entities that is using people and regarding people as corporate entities in order for taxation, incarceration, and all these other things. But now, those of you who are proclaiming your nationality, you are Aboriginal and Indigenous to the land, you are not a corporation. You're going to make this public knowledge, and you're going to gain access to your information so that you can study and be able to have access to this information to use to defend yourselves with. Those of you who are actually in the process of doing your documentation, you have your documentation, then you're going to have a power base behind you. And this is why we have created the Tahaka's Archive, so you will have a battery of information and resources to draw from and to study so that you can defend yourself against these corporate giants who is taxing you and who insist on doing everything they can to regard you as anything other than a living, breathing being, as I've already described at the outset of this broadcast. That is recorded in Black's Law Dictionary and Fifth Edition. Now, let me go ahead, and one other thing before I begin. For those of you who are just tuning in, you can reach me at tahaka99@yahoo.com if you prefer to email me, tahaka99@yahoo.com. For those of you who like a telephone call, please contact me after 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at area code 904-303-9061. And that way we can discuss your archives and see if we can get this to you. And you will have access to your own personal library, a tremendous resource to draw upon so that you can defend yourself and your family against what's going on inside the United States Corporation. Now, let us continue with this thing. And it says, and government employees, we agree considering that they were created under the authority of the corporation, the U.S. corporation. Now, number seven, it says, next, also in 1913, the corporation U.S. through Congress adopts, as if ratified, its 17th Amendment. Now, this amendment is not only not ratified, it is not constitutional. The nation's constitution forbids Congress from even discussing the matter of where senators are elected, which is the subject matter of the amendment. Therefore, they cannot pass such an act and then of their own violation order it enacted as ratified. According to the United States Supreme Court, the Congress court for Congress to propose such an amendment, they would first have to pass an amendment that gave them the authority to discuss the matter. Number eight, accordingly, in 1914, the freshman class and all senators that successfully ran for re-election in 1913 by popular vote were seated in the corporation, U.S. Senate, capacity only. Their respective seats from their state remained vacant because neither the state senators nor the state governors appointed new senators to replace them, as is still required by the national constitution for placement of all national senators. Number nine, in 1916, President Wilson is reelected by the Electoral College, but the election is required to be confirmed by the Constitutionality Senate. where the new corporation U.S. only senators were allowed to participate in the Electoral College vote confirmation. The only authority that could possibly have been used for electoral confirmation was corporate only. Therefore, President Wilson was not confirmed into office for his second term as President of the United States of America and was only seated in the corporation of U.S. presidential capacity. Therefore, the original jurisdiction government seats were vacated because the people didn't seat any original jurisdiction government officers. It is important to note here that President Wilson retained his capacity as commander-in-chief of the military. Many people wonder about the fact, imagining that such a capacity is bound to the president of a nation. However, when John Adams was president, he assigned George Washington to the capacity of commander-in-chief of the military in preparation for an impending war with France. During this period, Mr. Adams became quite concerned because Mr. Washington became quite ill and passed on his active military authority through his lead general, Mr. Hamilton. And Mr. Adams was concerned that if war did break out, Mr. Hamilton would use the authority to create a military dictatorship of the nation. Mr. Adams averted the war through diplomacy, and the title commander-in-chief was returned to him. Okay, what we have here is a situation that we have to have a clear understanding of. We're discussing your courts and your bill collectors, and it's very important for us to understand this information and to understand our position inside the United States. Those of us who are not, who haven't taken taken the time to do an investigation on your nationality or proclaim your nationality or do anything to change your position in this life, are going to find yourself victimized by these corporations and you being regarded as a corporation, a 14th Amendment citizen, et cetera. But for those of you who are proclaiming your nationality, who are wondering about proclaiming your nationality, I can assure you that you are on the right path. The most important thing that you have to understand is that before you do anything with your documentation, your education precedes it. And the first thing you want to do in order for you to be successful is you want to gain access to educational materials. And we have created that for you in the form of an archive, which is a virtual library with hundreds of articles and documents for you to study with historical background, with your videos, and all of this stuff is contained in these archives. And for you to get a hold of that, you just simply contact me at tarhaka99@yahoo.com, tarhaka99@yahoo.com, or either you call me after 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the area code 904-303-9061. Now, here, number 10, it says in 1917, the Corporation U.S. enters World War I and passes their Trading with the Enemies Act. In 1933, the U.S. Corporation is bankrupt. They force a bank in Hollandaise to exchange money back Federal Reserve notes with legal tender. Federal Reserve notes, the Trading with the Enemies Act is adjusted to recognize the people of the United States as enemies of the Corporation U.S. 12th, same time in 1935, you ask Social Security Administration for a relationship with their program with the express purpose of generating beneficiary funds to the United States. General Trust Fund, or the GTF, the Social Security Administration creates an entity with a name that sounds like your name, but is spelled with all capital letters and an account number, Social Security number. They gave you the Social Security card and let you know that the card does not belong to you, but you are to hold it for them until they want it back. If you are willing to accept that responsibility over the card, you activate the card by signing it, which gives you the ability to act as fiduciary for the card's actual owner, Corporation U.S. And you can use the card's name and number to thus transact business relations for the card's actual owner. You also to note that through the card verifies its agency, you as a single person with authority to control the entity so created. It is not for use as identification. On review, notice the Social Security Administration was the creator of the entity. They offered you the opportunity to serve as trustee capacity by limited actual consciousness and physical capacity. They gave you something, the card, that does not belong to you to hold in trust, and they reserve the actual owner of the thing, or the corporation, or U.S., as the beneficiary to the entity. By definition, this only describes the creation of existence of a trust. More importantly, the name they gave this trust is not your name. The number they gave the trust is not your number. And you're lending actual consciousness and physical capacity to this trustee capacity does not limit you or your capacity to separately act in your natural sovereign capacity in any way. What you do when you do it and how you do it is totally up to you. Number 13, in 1944, under the Bretton Woods Agreement, Corporation, U.S., is quite claimed the International Monetary Fund and becomes a foreign-controlled private corporation. That's in 1944, that's under the Bretton Woods Agreement. Number 14, in 1962, considering the states were forced to carry out their business dealings in terms of Federal Reserve notes, foreign notes, which is forbidden in the national and state constitutions. Out of the necessity, the states began protecting themselves from the people by forming corporations like Corporation U.S. Accordingly, those newly formed corporate state administrators began adopting the Corporation U.S. subjective uniform codes and licensing structures that allow better and more powerful control over the people, which thing the original jurisdiction governments of this nation had no capacity to do. Our Constitution secures that the governments do not govern the people, rather they govern themselves in accordance with the limits of law. The people govern themselves. Such is the foundational nature of our constitutional republic. 15. By 1971, every state government in the Union of States had formed such private corporation state in accord with the IMF admonition, and the people ceased to seek original jurisdiction government officials in their state government seats. Now, having stated these historical facts, we ask you not to believe us, but rather prove these facts for yourself. We then ask you to contact us and share your discovery with us. And we're going to stop right there because I think this is has been very informative, and we have laid bare the historical information in regards to the actual formation and creation of what is known today as the United States of America Corporation. We have two things going on here. Most of us believe that the United States is a country. I'm sorry to inform you that it is not. What is taking place is we have had a system of racketeering going on for quite some time, and the United States is now a corporation. And just like any corporation, we have a president, we have a vice president, and in this case here, the monies, the gold that was placed, sent to Washington by the people under the Franklin Delano Roosevelt's administration is no longer in existence. What is taking place is we have what is called fiat currency, which is not money but simply paper, and is simply being held together by the Office of the President of the United States and the media, and the fact that they simply is using what's actually really pretty much trickery to keep this thing afloat. But what we have to understand is we have to deal with reality. We have to deal with natural law as well as civil law. We're going to have to step outside of the being the 14th Amendment citizen. Start regarding yourself as a citizen. Pay close attention to the bills and stuff that come to your home with the title you have regarded as your name, which is in all capital letters. And remember what you have learned in third grade grammar when your teacher taught you the difference between a proper noun and an improper noun. If a person's name is spelled in all capital letters, that indicates anything other than a living, breathing being. However, if you agree to be this fictitious entity, then you fall under taxation and any other thing that the racketeers decide to do with you, which has been the case for many, many years inside this corporation that we are calling a country. But when we inform them that there has been a mistake made, They have assumed that we was a corporation, but we are not. Could you please spell our name correctly? My name is such person. It's spelled this way. We both have learned in third grade grammar that a noun is the name of a person, place, a thing, or idea, provided it's spelled as a proper noun and up in lowercase letters. And you want to continue to do that and make sure that you make copies of your protests and in the form of letters and stuff and put them in a file so that when they try to flex against you, you can go ahead and place your case before grand jury with all of the facts of the matter that you did protest being a corporation. You are not a corporation. You are a living, breathing being. You made it perfectly clear to those people, entities, or corporations who tried to maintain the enslavement over you, that you are not a corporation. And by bringing these documents forth, you are saying to the courts, here is proof. And so I just wanted to bring this out to you. You also want to make sure that you follow up on this information on your, in dealing with your creditors and dealing with the courts, the banks, or whoever you're dealing with, by having documentation. And make sure that your documentation is signed, sealed, and notarized and stamped. And that way you are able to be all in all and have a good sounding board when you're dealing with them. And that way you can remove the shackles that is being placed on you, that have been placed on you since birth. And again, with your Social Security, by the Social Security Administration, when they came to you and offered you the Social Security card, what they were doing was they was privately and secretly and wickedly getting you to give them power of attorney over your birth bond, which is insured, which was insured at birth. It is a bond. It is worth money. And but what you have done is given them power of attorney over that by filling out the SS-5 document. And but you did not know. And so now, today that we do know, we want to try to turn these things around and try to make the necessary changes. For those of you, once again, who are just tuning in to this broadcast, I am Tahaka Amana L. Bay. You are listening to Moorish Talk Live 100. Today's topic is courts, creditors, and Moors. We are discussing nationality. For those of you who would like to contact me, you can reach me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. That's tahaka99@yahoo.com. For those of you who would like to contact me by telephone, please be kind enough to do so after 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can dial that number at 904-303-9061. In regards to your archive, we also have a disc available for you as well, and we can discuss that once you contact me. We have the Law 360 disc, Volume 1 and Volume 2, which is approximately 6 hour long disc, which is very, very informative. We'll give you all the information, and it's excellent having it on DVD disc. That way you're able to play it, you're able to back it up and replay it, you get it down to a science. Ladies and gentlemen, the clock on the wall says that's all, and it's time for me to get out of here. So until next week. Yeah.
Gonna sit by her window.